All right, we have Jim Leland joining us this morning. The Detroit Tigers will retire Jim Leland's jersey number during a ceremony at Comerica Park August 3rd, 5:25 p.m. First 15,000 fans will get a Jim Leland starter pack, which is a baseball cap, a mustache, and sunglasses. Cigarettes not included. Jim joins us this morning. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing really good. When people introduce you now, and they introduce you as a Hall of Fame manager, what type of reaction do you have in having that status?
Well, I mean, you know, that's obviously a terrific honor. You know, I try not to get too carried away with it, you know, because it's just, you know, you certainly need to be humble about an honor like this, and I certainly am. But, you know, it's certainly a nice flavor. I think sometimes it's overdone when people start introducing guys that are in the Hall of Fame. They say that every time, and I don't think that's necessary, but it's certainly one heck of an honor.
When we look back at your time in Detroit, people are filled with a ton of fond memories, right? Packed ballpark, every game's a big deal. We were nitpicking your lineups and your bullpen decisions, but a time where baseball mattered a lot in this city. When you look back, what stands out most about that era?
Well, I think the 2016, I think we kind of shocked the people, the baseball people all over, I think, not only Detroit. And I think that was the year that kind of turned baseball around for the city. And everybody started to come out. They got excited, and it lasted for pretty much the 8 years I was here. We had pretty good teams. We fell a little short of that final prize, but, you know, we had a couple American League pennants, and we really had the town buzzing about baseball. And Detroit is obviously a great baseball town. It always has been. So I think that 2016, that's the thing that sticks out, that we came in. I think we kind of shocked the world, baseball world, to be honest with you, and that really got things rolling.
When you look back at your time in Detroit, really as your time as a manager, what is it that you miss about being in the locker room, about being in the dugout, being with the guys?
Well, I miss relationships with the players. You know, you, as a manager, you know, you always know that you kind of have to be the boss on the field. But, you know, I think it's important that, you know, you can be a father figure at times, you can be a brother figure at times, you can be a friend figure at times. And I wanted to do all those things if necessary, you know, and yet still maintain the respect of the players that, you know, that you had to make some, that I had to make some tough decisions. So I miss all that. I love the relationships and how I got to know the players and how each one of them, you know, responded differently to a different way you handle them. And that was all challenging and a lot of fun for me, and I really miss that.
We're talking to Hall of Famer Jim Leland. I know we don't have to do it every time, but it is fun to say. Hall of Famer Jim Leland. You mentioned you guys fell just shy of a World Series. People talk about it still, about, you know, how did those teams not win? What do you think the biggest reason is that you guys didn't win a World Series?
Well, we didn't hit. I mean, we just didn't hit. You know, we didn't hit really in either series. You know, our pitchers had some errors in the first World Series. Kind of, he got away from us a little bit. And then the second one, we just didn't hit. And I think our big guys kind of were in the first series were like 5 for 95 or something, and that was you know, combined, and that was tough. We just didn't we just didn't get it done, and you know, no excuses. We just didn't do it. But you know, at that time of year, you got to get some big hits at the right time, and you know, we in 13 we lost that tough game up in Boston, and then we came home, which I thought. You know, we went to Boston, came home 1-1. That wasn't that bad, even though we blew that second game. And then we got beat 1-0 when Verlander pitched a great game. You know, and Napoli hit the home run for Boston. We got beat 1-0. That first game was, it really hurt, don't get me wrong. But that third game was really a killer.
When you look back, obviously a lot of coaches or a lot of great players that you were able to manage and coach. Two of the best bats to ever swing in the major leagues, Barry Bonds, who you were manager in Pittsburgh, and then obviously Miguel Cabrera here. What were some of the similarities between those two great hitters, and what were some of the differences that you noticed?
Well, obviously one was a left-hand hitter and one was a right-hand hitter, so that was one big difference. You know, both of them had good short controlled swings. And I always said that this happens a lot. It happens even in today's game, even more so, really. But Cabrera swung like a little guy and hit like a big guy. And that's what Bonds did, too. And a lot of guys in today's game are swinging like a big guy and hitting like a little guy. Too many strikeouts, too many people trying to hit home runs that really aren't capable of hitting a lot of home runs. They might hit a few now and then, but you know, I think that was the difference. And the other thing is, which I think all great hitters, which I think is the main difference, they both picked up the ball real quick out of the pitcher's hand when they were really good. And I think that's what the really good hitters do. They recognize the pitch sooner than the mediocre or, you know, slightly below average hitters.
You mentioned, you know, in there this idea that the guys today maybe are swinging for the fences more today than when you were managing. What have you seen just generally when you look at the game today compared to when you were managing? What are some of the big differences you see?
Well, that's a great question. I think personally, and I may be wrong, but I think the two things that I see that are really different in today's game, particularly from a managerial standpoint, is the pitch usage and also how managers play their infield. All managers are playing their infield in much more than they did in the past. And the other thing is with the pitch usage, which I really think the analytical side on this is really good. I think it really helps. The pitch usage, you very rarely see a 3-1, 3-2 fastball anymore. In the old days, if the pitcher got behind 3-1, 2-0, you know, 3-2, it was going to probably be a fastball. In today's baseball game, that's not true at all. You very rarely see sliders 3-2, split fingers 3-2, changeups 3-2. You very rarely see a fastball anymore. And also then the way that they play their infield. They play their infield in much more than they did years before.
You've seen a lot of ebbs and flows in baseball, and you just mentioned, like, today, there's a lot of guys that are just simply swinging for the fences that don't necessarily have that ability. They may hit a few here and there. Do you think that baseball will shift back to the way it was when you were managing, where, hey, the home run hitters are going to still hit home runs, but that the swings will adjust to more, hitting for average or just simply hitting to get on base?
Yeah, I think it can, and I think it will. I think what I've always thought, and once again, you know, there's a lot of new stuff out there that is really good that maybe I didn't have when I managed, although I had all the information that was available at the time. There's more information now, and a lot of it's good. There's no question about that. It can be overdone a little bit, but a lot of it's good. But I think the big thing for me that I would emphasize, and that I always have emphasized to the players, who are you as a player? What type of player are you, and what can you do to help us win a game tonight? Everybody can't hit home runs, so you need the guy that can drag a bunt for a base hit to lead off an inning. You need a guy that can move a runner from second to third with nobody out. You need a guy that can have a two-strike approach that can get a big hit with two outs and a man on second. What kind of player are you, and you have to play to your own style? You know, the manager has to adjust to the players. It's not the players adjusting to the manager. The manager adjusts to whatever kind of players you have. But I don't think the players really realize what type of player they are, and I don't think we put enough emphasis on that. What can we do tonight? What can I do tonight to help A.J. Hinch and the Detroit Tigers win a game? It's not the same for everybody. There's the guys that, you know, that ride the bus, and there's the guys that drive the bus. And you have to realize which one of those guys you are.
Jim, I wanted to get your thoughts. You mentioned the ball club today, and you've also mentioned 06 and how surprising that was. We would love your perspective. The missing ingredient to spark something like another 06 run that people didn't expect, and people currently don't expect things to spark like that with this group. What's the missing ingredient that this team is missing?
Well, I don't think really there's hardly anything missing. I really like this group, and I know, you know, it's hard right now. They're struggling a little bit right now, and I'm never one to make excuses, but we got rolling there pretty good. And then, you know, Carpenter was our hottest hitter. He hasn't played forever. And then Riley Green was hitting, you know. Torkelson was a surprise the other way. We thought that Torkelson obviously would come back this year. And I don't know if we felt like he'd hit 31 home runs and knock in 90, but, you know, you felt like you're probably going to get 25 home runs and 85, maybe 90 RBIs, you know. And so there were some surprises. And then there's the health issue, you know, and Mize and Olson. And, I mean, this team has a lot of ability, and it has an outstanding manager, as thorough as any manager I've ever been around. And it's there. It's hard to tell the people that right now because we're struggling. And I think there's a lot to like about what the Tigers have in place right now, and I think there's a lot to like of what they're going to have in the very near future. But it's been disappointing this year, to be honest with you. I think coming out of spring training, I'm sure that AJ, and I don't want to speak for AJ, I'm sure he felt really good about this group. I know he still does. But, you know, some things happened, and it really hasn't fallen into place the way we thought it would, you know, to be honest with you. So, you know, I don't think this club is far away at all, but we definitely – and everybody has injuries. You know, you can't make excuses about injuries, but, it, you know, when you're a little short yet and not quite ready just yet, you really can't afford, you know, to have those kind of injuries like maybe – a team that's, you know, maybe a bigger market team that, you know, whatever. I mean, they, you know, they can kind of compensate for a player going down. You know, we weren't quite ready to do that just yet.
So we had a chance to talk about your Hall of Fame induction and what that meant to you. Now on Saturday, your number's going to be retired. It's going to be on the wall with the likes of Whitaker, Trammell, Kaline, Sparky Anderson. Your thoughts on what it means to you to have your number and your name up there as well?
Well, this was shocking to me when I got the call. Absolutely thrilled. You know, this is the highest honor that you can get from an individual team. And to think that the Tigers thought enough of my career. I've been with the Tigers a long time, starting in 1963, and then, of course, leaving to go other places for a while until I got my opportunity to come back here. But this is the highest individual honor you could ever get from a team. And to think that I'm out on that wall with obviously some of my friends, not only, you know, the great players and all that, but some of these guys are good friends like Trammell and Morris and Willie Horton and Lou Whitaker. So I just can't even imagine this. This is such an emotional thing for me, and I'm trying to keep my emotions under control because, like I said, this is the highest honor you could ever get. And to have this happen to me, it's unbelievable. I mean, to sign with the team in 1963 and 2024, beyond that wall at Comerica Park, it's unbelievable.
Well, Jim, we first of all appreciate you coming on with us today, and I can't speak for all baseball fans, but people of my age, you brought baseball back to the city of Detroit. That era brought baseball and a love of baseball back to the city of Detroit, so we really appreciate your tenure, and we're excited for you to get honored this weekend.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, guys. Thank you.
Tigers Hall of Fame manager, Jim Leland. It's 97.1.